I will have four cities of my presentation on lay ordination. Excuse me. When you receive lay ordination, is to become Buddhist practitioner. I think you're from up the in Buddhist scripture. I think it describes about becoming Buddhist practitioner. Enjoy the Dharma, be delighted in the Dharma, dwell peacefully in the Dharma, realize what the Dharma says, not slander the Dharma, and live one's life on the basis of the truth described well. Enjoy the Dharma, be delighted in the Dharma, dwell peacefully in the Dharma, realize what the Dharma is, not slander the Dharma, and live one's life on the basis of the truth described well. I think in this case, this Buddhist scripture mentions we should depend on the Dharma. I think Dhammapada and Agamas, I think the Buddha mentions to see me is to see the Dharma. To see the Dharma is to see me. And also after his death, I think all Buddhists should depend on the self and also the Dharma. So I think in this case, in the Buddhist textbook, I think Dharma depends on the Dharma, depends on the self, is same things. So to depend on the self is to depend on the Dharma. That's why here says, enjoy the Dharma. Enjoy the Dharma is beyond our like or dislike. Anyway, we try to be with the Dharma. What Dharma means, I think the ultimate principle of existence. In other words, ultimate principle existence by which human action is supported. Human action is based on. This is called Dharma. Then the Dharma is described in the Buddhist history, and then it becomes Buddhist teachings. So the teaching based on the Dharma talking on the Dharma is the impermanence and interdependent co-origination based on wisdom and compassion. This is a meaning of Dharma when you describe it as teaching. But Dharma, simply speaking, Dharma is, anyway, the very basic principle by which the human action is supported or human action is based on. This is a Dharma. So that's why if you become a Buddhist practitioner, I think enjoy the Dharma because you try to be with the Dharma beyond you like or dislike. Because Dhamma is very basic nature, by which human actions are supported. That's why we have to, day to day, we have to learn it and we have to practice it. Practice means to taste it, to taste with your body and mind. Practically. So enjoy the Dhamma, be delighted in the Dhamma, joyfulness. Joyful thrill is not the usual pleasure, or that is a human emotion coming from the bottom of your heart. So sometimes you don't realize it, but if you are with Dhamma day to day, being mindful of it, then naturally joyfulness coming up. That's why be delighted in the Dhamma. First of all, you have to stand up in the realm of Dhamma, which means the depth of human existence, by which your life is supported completely. So you should take a deep breath there, and then take care of your everyday life. Dwell peacefully in the Dhamma. Practically speaking, our existence is very peaceful. Basically, originally, intrinsically, anyway, your life is very peaceful. But we don't want to be peaceful sometimes when you are peaceful. So, human consciousness, complicated and make your life very confused, but birds and trees, pebbles, air show very simple life. Dwelling in the peaceful Dhamma. This is the trees, birds, pebbles, skies, air. Realize what the Dhamma says. So I think even though you don't understand, that your basic life is supported by the Dhamma stream of, what would you say, great energy. So even though you don't understand what it is, through the actual practice, being with the Dhamma constantly, anyway, you are ready and being ready to accept a joyfulness of life. And then I think you can dwell in the Dhamma. And then you can really realize what the Dhamma is talking about. So you should, anyway, listen to the Dhamma's message, Dhamma's representation in human life. Not slander the Dhamma. So Dhamma is kind of, according to Christianity, I think it seems to be a God. So I think God is in us. This time I attended conference, I think when the Christians talking, using the God so much in the emotionally, anyway, because term God is already penetrated their life. So they, even though they say the God in a word, it's really emotional or very attractive. So you can feel God supports you, life, God in you. So constantly they talk about God. But Buddhism doesn't say God so much. So anyway, so it's not necessary, you shouldn't slander your life, or others' life, trees' life, because your life is supported, even though you don't understand it. So you should respect your life, other's life, tree's life, anyway. So this is not slander the Dharma and live one's life on the basis of the truth described well. Anyway, we should live our life based on the Dharma or the truth. Described well means Dharma, this Dharma is really something alive in your everyday life. That is description on Dharma. So that is the truth. Truth is not an abstract concept. Truth is in us, or truth is exactly identical with our life. Not in us, not on us, not with us. Truth is us. Truth is you. So, this is the point when you want to be Buddhist practitioner, and then I think Dharma is, let me explain Dharma more in a concrete way. Dharma, I mentioned Dharma, teaching of the Dharma is consisting of two points of wisdom and compassion. The wisdom is understanding deeply how human life is going. That is a teaching called impermanence. And also in our life is based on the Dharma, which teaches us the ultimate discipline principle of interdependent coordination. Everything is connected very closely with the individual life. That is the second point. First point is impermanence, interdependent coordination. So if you describe those two points, impermanence and interdependent coordination, frankly speaking, there are two points. One is the realm of the life which you forgive you and others, or you and others are forgiven. This is description of the Dharma in terms of interdependent coordination, because all human lives are connected. So from this point, your life, others' life, forgive themselves, and also you and others are forgiven. This is interconnectedly. You should accept your life and you should accept others' life. Second, in terms of impermanence, I think your life never forgive, or you never be forgiven. In other words, your life and others' life never forgive themselves, or your life and others' life never be forgiven. That's practically, let me explain it practically. In terms of the interdependent coordination, you and you others forgive or are forgiven. I think practically you should get taste of it day to day. In other words, your understanding must be going very deep and looking at the depth of human life in that time, and then from the depth of human life, your understanding brings the all sentient beings to compassion, and brings compassion to all sentient beings. So very naturally, there is compassion. Forgive yourself or be forgiven. My teacher always embraced me under all circumstances, whatever happens in my life. His life never changed. Always his life was going like a stream of water with me. But I was young, so I made a mistake, or I didn't mistake, and many things happened, emotional situations and confusions, and even though I didn't make a mistake, everyday life a little bit mess, you know, because hatred come up, you know, so many emotional things come up, so everyday life was pretty entangled. Or confused. But his life was never changed. He always got up in the morning regularly and fixed the breakfast when I didn't get up, and always going smoothly. That is very helpful for me, because it is not something he should explain how tolerant, how compassionate his mind was. But the presence, his presence of heart is very important. So every day I can taste it through his life. The moment when I went back to the temple from the village and wherever, and then I felt relief. But when I went down to the village and the society's people criticized me or barking at me very much. So particularly when you are very confused, some little criticism really makes you bother. So that is practically very wonderful for me. I appreciated his way. He didn't teach me actually, but in many ways he taught me. Second, I think in terms of impermanence, you and others are never forgiven and never be forgiven. That is very serious life, very serious life. My teacher showed me. When I didn't get up in the morning, and then a teacher says, when the morning comes, very gently he says, when the morning comes, you should get up. When the people have a breakfast, you should have a breakfast. After that, if you don't feel good, go to bed. This is a very good suggestion for me. Do you understand this one? No excuse. When the morning comes, get up. That's it. But we are always arguing. But arguing is already, you have a lot of space for you to do doing something as you like. But actually, your life is forgiven, in broadly speaking, but on the other hand, your life will never be forgiven. Because you have to take care of your life by you. Who helps you? Actually, you yourself help. Morning helps its own life. So when the morning comes, morning should be alive. And then human life should be fit into this rhythm of everyday life. Morning, afternoon, evening. That teacher mentions in a concrete way. So, if you practice like this very naturally, a Dharma is coming to your life and your life manifest yourself as a Dhamma. So very naturally, your life as a total personality. Do you know the total personality? Total personality is your personality, including tree's life, other's life, all beings. Your life is penetrated to the time, past, present, future, and also trees, birds, and plants, and Chinas, all over the world, pebbles, airs, and then your personality becomes whole. This is total personality. You can do it. My teacher did it. My teacher showed me always, but I was young, that's why I didn't have enough eyes, enough ears to listen or to see it. That's why I complained and I always they confused. But I think this is, but on the other hand, I felt relief when I came back to the temple. Because world is very busy, noisy, etc. So that is really practically, I can take a deep breath from his total personality. So that is a wonderful. So total personality, if you practice like this, even though you don't understand the meaning of them in terms of Buddhistic understanding, anyway, practice like this. So then your dharmas come to you and let the flow of life force blooms. This is not your business. You try to know it. People know it. People know total personality coming from your heart. Okay. It's not something you try to produce. So all you can do is to practice this day to day. Then naturally, total personality is ripe. So I think this is wonderful practice for us day to day. But if you study Buddhism, that concept of Dharma is very complicated. So we don't understand exactly. But I think if the Dharma I mentioned is very helpful for you, because you can practice Dharma day to day. So you should accept your life totally forgiven. And you should take care of your life totally forgiven. And also other's life. On the other hand, you're never forgiven. You'll never be. Means you should really take best care of your life day to day. This moment never come again. So how can I say? Can I be forgiven or not forgiven? No way. So you have to do it. That is very serious and also very soft basis of human existence, from what you can take deep breath, like a wind blows, breathing blows naturally on the in the field. So that is, and then when the Dharma comes into you and become one, this is called in Buddhism Sambhogakaya Buddha. Sambhogakaya Buddha. Sambhogakaya Buddha is Dharma is manifested in your life every day. So it's not the if you describe the Dharmakaya, Nirmanakaya, and Sambhogakaya, it's kind of a pathology, you know. So it makes you confused, but actually you can do it, and every day wherever you are, you can practice it. So for this, I think if you Dhamma, if the Dhamma comes into you and be one with it, then you become Sambhogakaya Buddha. Then people really respect you. But then at that time, Sambhogakaya Buddha, Buddha means, Buddha is originally not only the Buddhism, Jainism and Brahmanism in the ancient time of India, they use Buddha so much. So Buddha is awakened one. And also in the ancient time, in order to be awakened one, it's not necessary for you to depend on only Buddhism, whatever it is, poem, philosophy, Rig Veda in India, there are four kind of philosophy, Rig Veda, Bhagavad Gita, etc. That is kind of poem and philosophy. So depending on the philosophy and the poem, myth, then you can be awakened one. That's always original old textbook mentions. So it's not necessary to depend on particular religions. That's why Buddhism is very broad. And also when Buddhism begins, and naturally I think Buddhism was a little different from others, the concept of Buddha created by other schools and philosophy, etc. So very naturally, Buddha is awakened one, but who has particular characteristic of human life. That is basically, I think, you know, pretty well 18 specific marks of Buddha's life. 18 specific Buddha's mark is 10 power. I don't want to explain all things. 10 powers and also four fearlessness. And also threefold dwelling in thought. In thought means in mindfulness. Mindfulness. And then next, compassion. Compassion. Okay? So 10 power is, simply speaking, I think human total personality penetrated into the time, past, the present, future. That he or she has great eyes, great ears to see the past, the present, future, to hear to the voice of the past, present, future. It is not mystical. Okay? If you practice it naturally, such eyes and such ears are nurtured by your practice, by your studying. Okay? So that is not only this power is not only penetrated into the past, present, future, but also into every inch of the space. Means others' life, trees' life, and pebbles, the space, all sentient beings. So his or her life is really expanding to everywhere. This is 10 power, characteristic of Buddha's 10 powers. Well, everyone can have this. And for fearlessness, and fearlessness is, broadly speaking, I think if I lived with my master, my teacher, even though he didn't teach me at all, I was taught about fearlessness because I felt relief. feeling relief completely, what you can open yourself is really fearlessness. So wherever you may be, if you are mindful Dharma, if you are mindful of Buddha, Buddha and Dharma, mindful of Buddha and Dharma are same, okay? So anyway, if you are mindful of Dharma day to day, everyday life, and very naturally you feel relief. You can see the life which is relieved. Free from human suffering, human confusion, etc. Basically, regardless of whether you realize or not, this is practice, everyday practice. If you want to be a Buddhist practicer, you have to do it. Okay. And the four dwellings in mindfulness. This is very interesting. When people believe or trust Buddha, Buddha never be delighted in all the people's belief, trust. That is one point. Because he is always with the Dharma, trust or not trust, man and woman, teacher and disciple, all category are loosened there, into this space, into this Dharma realm. So that is basic place where Buddha's life is always standing. So that's why one of the threefold dwelling in mindfulness is Buddha never be delighted in the people's trust. Do you understand? And the second, even though people don't trust Buddha, Buddha never be suffered. Or Buddha never be confused. And the third, Buddha never be tossed away by trust or not trust of the people. Do you understand that one? In other words, the Buddha's life is never tossed away by like or dislike, or fame or not fame, famous or not famous, those stuff, happiness or not happiness. By those stuff, the Buddha never be tossed away. So, because always he or she focus on the Dharma realm, where all categories, all levels of beings are loosened. Races, suffering, happiness, unhappiness always are loosened there. That is threefold dwelling in mindfulness. Then last one is compassion. Compassion is kindness, but what I am interested in is why the compassion uses sadness. Compassion consists of two terms, kindness and also sadness. Sadness means mourning. In Sanskrit, karuna. Karuna and maitri. Maitri is friendliness, kindness. And karuna is mourning, mourn. Mourning is a pretty deep pain. pain, irritation, in discouragement, very deep discouragement, irritation in the bottom of your life. For instance, we want to know what the Dharma is by practicing day to day and through the studying and the practicing of bath. But almost you can see, you can they have a glimpse of Dharma, what it is like. And then, next moment, Dharma is disappeared. So if you try to know what the real Dharma is, it's very difficult to get it. But through the practice and study and learning Buddha's teaching, you can come very close, very close. So again and again, we have to do it. And then you come to this bottom of the human life. And then the bottom is between the bottom of human life and the eternity is produced by the certain partitions and the wall. But when you touch this wall, that wall is not hard. It's very soft, very soft. If you touch it, you can get into eternity, but you don't notice. So what you can notice is, you can touch it, and then your experience. Next moment, experience. And then, by your experience, people are really excited. I always mention, if you see moose in Minneapolis, you say, wow! See, before wow, there is unity. Unity of you and moose and all sentient beings. But nobody pay attention to this unity, but paying attention a lot to word produced by wow, or after, the word after wow. Do you understand? And then your life is going opposite. So this is always we do. Okay? So that's why this, since I became a monk, why Buddhist compassion has to learn mourning? I didn't understand it, but still I am interested in this one instead of compassion or softness or kindness. I want to know what, why. There's some reason. So practically, you have to this. You have to taste of this human deep mourning, which nobody can express it, but always in the heart. Everyone. That is a kind of a beyond consciousness or unconsciousness. That's what we want to know. Something. We want to know something more than human life, more than intellectual understanding. So, I think you have to know. If you know your the very deep mourning of your life, I think you that understanding, comprehension of the deep mourning of your life, anyway, spread into other's life, so you can understand it. Understand, you can share your life with the people kindly, very kindly, because you know the deep mourning of your life, but you cannot express it. But constantly, this is something you want to get. Everyone wants to get. So. Always, day to day. Okay. This is great karuna. It's a great karuna. That karuna morning is very deep and great, the limitless. At that time, compassion, it turn into the compassion. And then you can share it. For instance, I mentioned when you have a back pain, when you feel the really big pain from accident, you know, hitting the shin by the against the corner of the desk and etc. You cannot say ouch, and you cannot feel the pain. Well, because something more than pain. So naturally, you say just, you know. That's it. That is mourning expressed, you know, expressed. When you, when the deep mourning of your life is expressed, this is a very simple word, original word, before it becomes a usual word. So just. So very naturally, your life becomes the Buddha. That is Sambhogakaya Buddha. Your physical life can manifest Dharma in everyday life. This is called Buddha, awakened one. And then we try to pay homage to this Buddha. Okay. So first of all, the pay homage to the Dharma is exactly pay homage to Buddha. So that's why in the beginning I mentioned what is Buddhist practitioner. Practitioner must depend on the Dharma, means depends on the self. How can you understand this self? The self is exactly same as the Dharma. Then you become Buddha. Then when you become awakened one, very naturally, you can really deeply pay homage to Buddha Shakyamuni, who was one of the human beings. As a Buddha, we can really respect Shakyamuni Buddha. So we say, I take refuge in the Buddha. We in Sanskrit, in Pali, we say Namo. Namo is to bend. To bend. Namaste. Indian people always say Namaste instead of a good morning. You know? Do you understand? People say Namaste. This is pretty nice because Namas is to bend, to low your head. Te is to you. So Namaste, when you meet somebody in the morning, afternoon, or evening, or in winter, and whatever, I think people say Namaste. Indian people say Namaste. In Japan, I think interesting thing is in every seasons are changed very much, very clearly, and every season has a very delicate taste. Every season has a very delicate flavor. Day to days in winter, day to days winter in Japan manifests itself having the very delicate flavor. So we say good morning, but we say usually today's fine days. Lots of expressions of the morning when you see. Okay? When you see somebody, you can express morning today. No, summer today, you know, using the lots of expressions. And then they bow, you know, they bow. So Japanese are always bowing, that is Namaste. Namaste is not only the exchanging greeting, but Namaste is to bow, to bend, to low your head. And the Chinese, I think, Kim Myo is return to life. Return to life. This life is a stream of energy, basic energy. So you should return your life. Your life returns to this stream of basic energy. That is called Namo. So I take refuge in the Buddha. So this is everyday practice. When you become, when you want to be Buddhist practitioner, and then you practice the Dhamma, you practice Dhamma, and then the Dhamma comes into you, and then you become Buddha. Simultaneously you become Buddha, simultaneously you are person, human being, belonging to Sangha. This is Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Okay? So first, we have to take refuge in the Triple Treasure. This is conclusion of today's talk. Okay. Maybe Saturday, I can talk about repentance. Do you have a question?
If you always are in touch with your mourning, are you always sad?
I don't think you can touch. Actually, strictly speaking, you are always touch. You always touch this mourning, but the consciousness never touch it. The mourning you can feel every day is not real mourning. That is a pain and suffering or pensiveness produced by our consciousness or physical senses. That's it. But the morning I am talking is a little more deep, deep sense of pain or pensiveness.
Are you saying moaning or mourning? I think that it's a little
mourn,
bit
mourn,
mourn.
Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
M-O-A-N?
No.
M-O-U-R-N. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Is that clear?
He used to always say moan, M-O-A-N.
Right.
Oh, is that
right?
How about your M-O-U-R-N? It's a different word.
To mourn or for someone who died, you mourn for them. Mm-hmm. Moan is like a cry of anguish sort of thing.
I'm not clear. M-O-U-R-N is what?
To grieve.
Or M-O-A-N is what?
Oh, is to make a noise.
Oh, I see.
Pain.
Maybe more M-O-A-N. Okay, I correct. M-O-A-N, right? M-O-A-N. Mourning.
Do you have a connotation usually of, what is it?
Well, not straightforward kind of expression of pain, but moan and groan. What's the word it's called?
Complaining.
Moaning has a connotation of complaining. You need to like
that. M-O-A-N.
The deep moan of the world.
When it comes down, you know, here's the cry or the moaning of the world.
That's why Kandeon is called sometimes fearlessness, symbol of fearlessness. Because Kandeon, Avalokiteshvara, understands human deep cry, okay? Very deep. It's not sadness, usual sadness. It's kind of original flavor everyone has. Trees, birds express very straightforwardly, but only human being a little bit complicated. not straightforward, like trees, birds. For instance, trees die in very directly and straightforwardly, nothing to say. But a human being, when a human being dies, well, not straightforward, not open. We know we should, but we don't want. So this kind of mourning always has. That's why mourning is created constantly. So that's Avalokiteshvara. Can have a great ear to listen to that deep crying. And then people, the presence, only presence of Avalokiteshvara makes you relief completely. My experience at the being with my teachers, I felt relief. I don't know what it is, but when I went back to the temple, I felt anyway relief, peaceful.
Did you feel relief from that deep sadness, from that moment?
Oh, yes, if you go pay attention constantly, and someday it turns into compassion. Kindness, what you can share it. If you share your deep cry with the people, you cannot share the deep cry with the people. Not when you try to share it, naturally deep cry turns into compassion. So that is natural. That's why you have to understand very deeply how minutely consciousness is vibrated to separate, always separate. That is constantly we do. So very naturally we have a gap between. So this time we went to they discuss about Christianity and Buddhism. No matter how long we discuss, and no matter how long practically we shake hands each other between the Buddhism and Christianity, still there is a war. And then Christianity and Buddhist offer suffering. How can I get one? How can I be united? We should suffer. How? Day to day. So day to day, every year we have to meet, and useless discussion should be going. And then discussion is a kind of bridge, okay? You should remember. Discussion, words, and the meeting is a bridge, practical bridge. But bridge, many kind of bridge. Short bridge, middle size of bridge, long bridge. Very short. I think Buddhist practice is you should make the bridge shortest. Then you can share your life. While you are caught by the concept or ideas or your understanding, bridge is longer and longer. Discussion makes the bridge long and long and long constantly. How do you make it shorter? Simple. Be and meet together. Talk, that's it. And practice. Meet dozens, six, this, there. With full concentration, wholeheartedness, then you become Buddha. When you become Buddha, you are Buddha, I am Buddha. Then become one. That's why, you know, the Thoden Zenmaster was asked by the monk, what is the real Buddha beyond the three categories of Buddha perspective on Buddha? Dhammakaya, Nirmanakaya, Sambhogakaya. What is the true Buddha? And then he says, now here am I wholehearted. Is that clear? now here am I, wholehearted. Wholehearted is very serious, but soft, very flexible. But wholehearted, not flexibility and serious, the very serious life comes together and working together. That is wholehearted. And then, that is best way to make the bridge shortest. The immediately there is a communion, spiritual communion between the Buddha and you, universe and you. That is Zen way.
Christians use the term devil's advocate. So
Christian what?
The Christians use the term devil's advocate.
Devil?
Devil's advocate, like the devil's lawyer. It's someone that asks troublesome questions. It's all very simple. Now here I am, wholehearted.
At that time,
the question, here I am is easy, but wholehearted, how does one be wholehearted? That's
okay. Do a show. Then, just do a show with wholeheartedness. That is now, when, now, here. Okay. This wholeheartedness is a place and time where all the flame or category and discrimination levels and different levels of life and are loosening into this simultaneously.
That's it.
So devils also there, but loosening. Devils is loosened there. But if you fight with the devil objectively, devils and you become a long, long bridge. And then finally, you don't know how to take it because you cannot cross over the bridge because too long to cross over. So finally, you are angry. You become angry. Okay, any other?
Well, I'd like to ask you, Roshi, how about you said wanting to be a Buddhist practitioner? You talked about wanting to be a Buddhist practitioner. Where does that come from, wanting to be a Buddhist practitioner?
From where the morning comes?
Wanting to be a Buddhist practitioner.
Well, I think not Buddhist. I think you want to be practitioner, not necessary to put the Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Practitioner of life, in life, okay. Practitioner is to know something deeply, more than a conscious or unconscious understanding of human life. Something. You don't know what. So why you do practice, you don't know, actually. Okay? Is that clear? I don't know either. Why I am Buddhist monk and practicing like this. But I cannot stop it. It's going. It's ongoing. Okay. This is human desires. Deeply human desire really encourage you to exist in this world, seeking for the something depth, deep. That's why we practice.